scripture reading today comes from Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 7. And I'm reading through the New International Version this morning. Later she gave birth to his son Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as the offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborns of his flock. Then the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it."
Are you successful? Are you successful in life? Think about yourself for just a minute. How do you view yourself? Do you look at yourself and say, "I'm successful at what I'm doing," or not? What Norris just read for us, Cain was a successful farmer. Abel, he was a successful shepherd. They both brought their offerings to God. And you look there at the text that Norris just read for us. God rejected Cain's offering. Why? You look at verse 4, it says that Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. He brought the best that he had. But Genesis 4 and verse 3 says Cain brought some. He brought some of his fruits. One, on one hand, wanted to be successful. One put a lot of thought into it and said, "I am going to bring the first. I'm going to bring the fat. I'm going to bring the good. I am going to bring the best to God." And then you look there, as I said in verse 3, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering. Cain did not do his best. This morning I want us to think for just a few minutes about us giving our best to God. Us investing in God. Us being determined to do all that we can for God in our lives. How do we measure success? Is our success measured by our faithfulness to God? Greg and I were talking a little bit ago in the first hour. We were talking about what a challenge it is in our lives sometimes to always make the decision to do right. You know, you think about every decision that you make in life. We normally know what's right and we know what's wrong. At least when we get up older, we at least know what we should do. But the hard part comes from just doing what you should do. Because sometimes something draws us away from the truth. It draws us away from the direction that we feel like we should be going. For an example, here on your slide. Found an illustration. It says a young woman was telling about her grandmother. When birthdays or Christmases came around, their grandchildren on one side of the family received great toys and gifts. But she and her brother got items that came from Goodwill or garage sales, it says. How did they know? Said some of the items still had the stickers from the yard sales and Goodwills that she would pick them up on the clothes. and the clothes had not even been washed. Some of you grandkids get the very best, and some get hand-me-downs. Did the grandmother love one grandchild more than the other? What do you think? Do you think the grandmother picked one over the other? Why, of course she did. Grandmother loved these more than the other. You know, Jesus dealt with this in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through verse 24. But in verse 24, Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters." He said, "You will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." We have to choose in our lives how we're going to live, who we're going to serve. Jesus didn't say we shouldn't try. You shouldn't try to serve two masters. That's not what that verse said. It didn't even say it wasn't a good idea to serve two masters. Look at that in verse 24. He said, "You cannot do it." He didn't say it wasn't a good idea. You can have your very best intentions of what you're about to do, and Jesus tells us ahead of time, don't even try it. Because if you try to serve two, it cannot be done. You're going to choose one over the other. Back to grandmother. She chose one over the other. She said, "I'm going to give the best to these. I'm still going to give a little. It still shows I love my grandchildren, doesn't it? If I give them something." Can you imagine how the grandchildren felt? For one to get a great prize and one to get nothing. That's what Jesus is teaching us how we ought to be toward God. That we give God our very best in all that we do. That we invest, if you will, in heaven. We invest in God. That we dedicate our lives to God. Who is your best friend? Who is your best friend? You know, I have several people in my life that I consider to be good friends. Just yesterday, Wendy and I went out in the cemetery, and we went and carried buckets of water, and one bucket had soap in it, one had water that we could rinse the rocks off with, and we cleaned most of our family's rocks, and Wendy put some flyers on Jay's and put some camouflage something on it that you wrap around, some kind of cloth. And I was cleaning his rock, and I was down on my hands and knees, getting down between the crack and between where the flyers go and everything. And I looked up, and I saw his name there, and I looked at his date of birth, and I looked at the date of his death, and I thought, I lost my son. But then I thought a little deeper in that. I said, I missed my friend. I missed talking to him. I miss us riding on his Polaris. I miss us going out to eat. I miss us watching our favorite shows on TV. I miss things with him. And I thought, what a dear friend he was to me. And he was my son, but yet I considered him my friend. But who's your best friend? We can all talk about who we're close to. Who is your very, very best friend? You know where I'm going with this. Your very best friend is Jesus. I have found a friend in Jesus. Everything in our life should point to Jesus. Even when Jay looked at me and he said, "I don't want to die. What is it going to be like to die?" And we went down that road with Jay about dying and how it just ripped me apart, and I didn't want to lose him by no means. I said, "Son, Jesus loves you more than I do. And he is going to take your hand from me, Folks, we have got to realize that, and we have got to put that in ourselves to the point that we're living our life hoping and longing for the day that we're with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can go back to Genesis and we can look at Cain and Abel, and we can look at one willing to sacrifice the very best and one willing to just give the leftovers. And I'm not talking about contribution this morning. However, this would be a great sermon on giving. But I'm talking about our heart. I'm talking about our life. I'm talking about our commitment. What are we willing to give to God every day of our life? Whether you're teaching at school, coaching, working, wherever you may be, what are you willing to give to God? Is it the best? Let's say you inherit a little money. I don't know how much. You got a little money in your pocket. And you decide, hey, I've got to do something with this money. I've got to invest it somewhere to where I can grow my money and I can have more money. That's what we all talk about. That's what we all want to do, is grow our wealth. And you go to a good friend of yours, and he says, I'll tell you what, General Motors is growing. That's where you want to put your money. And you put every bit of it in there. You slide it all across the table, Nick, and you say, I'm all in. My investment is General Motors. You know what you're going to do every day? You're going to watch the TV, and you're going to get a newspaper, or you're going to get online, and you're going to look every day and see how that investment is going. Why? Because you're committed to it. You might not have ever noticed anything about General Motors before that day, but once you make that commitment and you say, I am all in right here, you're going to keep up with it. And you're going to baby it every day. Why? Because it's your life savings. Everything I got is in General Motors. Well, let me ask you something. When it comes to your soul, when it comes to eternity, if you're a child of God this morning, if you have become a Christian, you have put the Lord on in baptism, are you keeping a check on your investment? In your life, in your soul, are you keeping up every day? Paul tells us to examine ourselves. Over and over again, we can read in the scripture where the Bible tells us that we are to look at ourselves. James says it's like looking in a mirror. You look in a mirror and you see what kind of person you are. And if you realize you're not how you should be and you walk away, that's not good. But you look at yourself and you make changes as you go. Yeah, I'm telling you, if all my money was in General Motors, I don't have any. I'd be keeping up with it. Talking to a guy yesterday on the phone trying to get some stuff worked out for our business online. And I was talking to a guy yesterday and we got talking about paying for this I was doing online. And he said, well, you're going to have to put your credit card or debit card or something in at some point. I said, of course you do. We got talking about someone stealing identity and all this, that, and the other. And we was going on about how everything is on the internet, that everything about us you can find. And some people worry about it. And that guy was talking about how he's afraid someone could get his identity. I said, let me tell you something, buddy. If somebody got in my account, they'd feel sorry for me. And they'd probably make a deposit instead of a withdrawal. And we laughed and we talked about how there's more things to worry about really than that. I said, you can take all the precautions you want to make, and at the end of the day, I don't know how to stop it if somebody wants to do it. But where is our investment really at? What are we most concerned about? Someone getting in our checking account, getting our money, or the Satan getting in our lives, getting in our heart and pulling our soul away from us, and we're losing our soul? What's more important? Before we close this morning, we need to get to where we depend more on God. We need to get to where we need Him and understand that Jesus is our friend. And here's just a few things I had listed up here about depending on God. When we're in a time of trouble, when you got trouble in your life and you feel like there's nowhere else to go, there is no better time than to have Jesus as a friend. Listen to Psalms 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. What about strength when we need strength? Psalms 18, 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Where does your strength come from? What in this world gives you the most strength in times of trouble? Is it God? Or is it alcohol? When you need help, do you go to God? Or you go to something in this world? Look at the next one. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And then lastly, what about when we're weak? God taught Paul to count his pain as gain. When we face things in our life and it keeps us humble and we realize we're not what we want to be and we're struggling with certain things in our life, it's good sometimes to understand that pain gives us gain. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verses 8 through 10, for this thing I besought thee thrice, that it might depart from me. Three times he asked that it could be gone. And he said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Where do you get your strength? It comes from Jesus. What more could we really want than a good investment in God? Jesus is our friend. Every one of us today. We cannot have a greater friend because He laid down His life for us. Every one of us can claim victory in Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It's about giving our best to God. You can go and read again what Norris read for us. You can look at Cain and you look at Abel. You can look at Grandmama. She may say she loves all of her grandchildren, but at this illustration that we read this morning, she gives some of her grandchildren the very best. She gives some of her grandchildren the leftovers. Even a child could look and say, I see the difference, Grandmama. And all the wisdom that God has. Do you not think that God can look at us today and say, Tim, you're not giving me the very best? We know what happened with Cain and Abel. God knows. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. We're going to encourage you with a song that we're about to sing. We hope and pray that through your faith, your willingness to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, your willingness to turn from sin and say that I want to live for God and I want to give Him my very best. that will cause you to turn from your sin, confess the confession that I believe that he is the Son of God, and today you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. But if you're here and you've been unfaithful to God, we're going to be encouraging you with this song to come forward to rededicate your life to God. But at the very least, let's all make a commitment today that we're going to at least try. Not saying you're not, or I'm not, but let's at least try to give our very best to God. Why, together we stand and sing.